His death on the cross for our sins already very clearly prophesied about 700 years before his death on the cross. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, God made him, Jesus Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that we may become righteousness of God. Yes, we know Jesus came here to help us, to teach us, to give us example, and so on. But more than all things, Jesus came to die for us. This means Jesus' death on the cross is foundational requirement of every other blessing we can enjoy. Jesus' death is a fundamental purpose why he came here, to remove sins from our life, from our eternal life even. If we are sure, this is a very serious question, if we are sure the fundamental purpose of Jesus' first appearance in this world is to remove our sins from our life, then as his disciples, as his followers, what should we do with the sins? What should we do with the sins? We should not compromise with the sins. We must fight with the sins. We must hate the sin. Even sometimes we must run away. We must flee from the temptation of sins. You know, if we compromise with the sins in this, we will find ourselves fighting against Jesus Christ. If we are friends to sin, we will find ourselves enemies to Jesus Christ. If we are close to sin, we will find ourselves far away from Jesus Christ. Today's passage is very, very serious. Today's passage is handling the dangers of sins. Shall we say together? The dangers of sins.
Dangers of sins.
Yes, today is the last Sunday of this year, but that is very, very heavy and serious. It's worrying, even threat against the dangers of sins. Okay, let us read the first two verses, verse 26 and 27. From first to last, please remember the dangers of sins. How dangerous the result of sins. This is not my word, the word of God from his living words. Okay, let us read from verse 22, 23. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of the judgment and of the raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Yes, we know there is nobody who is perfect. Even very mature Christian is not perfect. Nobody can say, I'm sinless. I cannot say before you, I'm sinless. If I say before you, I'm sinless, in this, I'm a liar. Right? So, Bible says, if you claim to be without sin, you deceive yourselves. The truth is not in me. But if you confess your sins, God, he is faithful and just, so he will forgive us our sins, and he will purify, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But also at the same time, we must remember the point of these two verses is, it is absolutely impossible for really saved Christians to sin continually, deliberately, intentionally, willfully. Let me say one story. Have you heard the expression, have you heard the phrase? The sad consequences of the mostly forgiven sins. Let me repeat the expression. The sad consequences of the mostly forgiven sins. What does this mean? To understand the true practical meaning of this expression, the sad consequences of the mostly forgiven sins, David is a faithful example. We know one part of David's story. David was king. He was at the top. And he committed very, very terrible sins. Deliberately, intentionally, he committed adultery with whom? Bathsheba. After that, to hide this terrible sin, he killed her husband named Uriah by putting him in the front line of war battle. But he did not know, he did not recognize how terrible sin he committed. And God sent his man, Prophet Nathan, to David to let him know how terrible sin he committed. Then immediately David confessed his sin. He repented. David repented with cries, with tears, with broken hearts, with contrite soul. He confessed, I have sinned against the Lord. And God forgave him. Yes, Prophet Nathan said to David, the Lord has taken away your sins. You shall not die. His sin was completely, mostly graciously forgiven, right? But he suffered sad consequences of forgiven sins. Not forgiven, but forgiven sins. After that, Nathan said to him, the sword shall never depart from your house. After this evening, this event, what happened in his house? We know the story. He had many sons and daughters. One son named Amnon, another daughter named Tamar. Amnon raped her. They had the same father, David, but from different mother. So, after that, Tamar's real brother, named Absalom, killed Amnon. And Absalom rebelled against his father, David, to become king. So David had to flee from Jerusalem. And Absalom committed terrible sins, adultery with David's concubines, even in the sight of all Israel, daytime. And there was war fighting between David's men and Absalom and his men. And Absalom was killed by David's men. And after the death of David, his son Solomon, you know Solomon, right? Solomon killed another, his brother, Adonijah, who tried to become king after David, his father David. This is the story of David. This is what he suffered, sad consequences of his sin, even though his sin was completely forgiven. Sometimes we know that sometimes forgiveness of sin is one thing, but suffering the consequences of that forgiven sin can be another sin. That is why our Lord Jesus says, if your hand, you have hand, you have heel. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Why? Because it is better for you to enter eternal life with one hand, with one foot. then to have two hands, two feet, and be thrown into the fire of hell. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. Why? Because it is better for you to enter the eternal life than to have two eyes and be thrown into the eternal fire of hell. This is the danger of things. This story is continuing. How dangerous the result of sin. Let us see next two verses. Verse 28-29. Let us read together. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses dies without mercy. On the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more shall he say, shall he shout? Three verses, three, only three verses. Three words. How much more? Better shout. How much more?
How much more?
Say to your next step. How much more?
How much more?
How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished? Who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Who has treated as an unholy king the blood of the covenant that sanctified him? And who has inserted the spirit of grace? Amen. We are studying continually the book Hebrews. We know the story of the Old Covenant and New Covenant. Under the Old Covenant, if anyone rejected Moses' law, he was punished by death, physical death, on the testimony of two or three witnesses. In the Old Testament, the book Deuteronomy chapter 17 makes it very clear. If anyone willfully, deliberately rejects, of course, the Old Testament is a God's covenant, right? If anyone rejects God's covenant, even Old Covenant, deliberately and followed after another small God, there was no mercy, no sacrifice for him. Why? Because his sin was the sin of idolatry. And how much more? Verse 29 mentioned, how much more worse and severe to those who reject new covenant, Jesus Christ. Very logical. Yes, three God, Father God, Son God, the Holy Spirit God, one God in essence, in purpose, in sovereignty, but in three persons. And Trinity God is exactly seen in this great project for forgiveness and salvation of all human beings only through Jesus Christ. There is the same project, same plan, same sovereignty. Let me say one by one. Of course, one, but for us, it can look three persons. First, there's only one sin. There is only one sin. The Father God cannot forgive. That sin is to reject Jesus Christ. Not to believe in Jesus Christ. Not to confess Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. We know John chapter 3:16. You memorize it, right? John chapter 3:16. God so loved the world, so that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We say this is a love story of Jesus Christ toward all human beings. God so loved, so that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But also this sentence means those who do not believe in Jesus Christ shall perish, right? This sentence says, those who do not believe in Jesus Christ shall perish. And next verse says, God did not send his Son in this world to condemn the world, but to save this world through him. This is good news. But those who reject Jesus Christ shall be condemned. As God wants all human beings to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth in Jesus Christ. But we must know that God has no choice but to allow those who reject Jesus Christ to go to where? Hell. That's why Matthew chapter 10 verse 28 says, do not be afraid of men who can kill your body, but not your soul. Rather, be afraid of the one. Who is this one? God. Be afraid of the one, God, who can destroy your soul and body in hell. Also, secondly, there is only one sin, the Son God, Jesus Christ, cannot forgive. That sin is to reject Jesus Christ. That sin is not to believe in Jesus Christ, not to confess Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord. We have seen many, many times, once for all, we remember, in the study of Hebrews, this is a key point. Very strong message given to us. Shall we say it one more time? Once for all.
Once for all.
Once for all.
Once for all.
Jesus once sacrifice is effect enough, more than enough, sufficient for all, including you and me, for eternity, forever. But this once for all also means there is no more sacrifice left for those who reject Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is the only and final. That is why verse 26 says in the second part, no sacrifice for sins are left. No sacrifice for sins left. No more sacrifice left for those who reject Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus himself says, in regard to sin, because they do not believe in him. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, salvation is found in no other. There is no other name given to us on heaven by which we must be saved. Their name is Jesus. Their name is
Jesus
Christ. Also, thirdly, there is only one thing the Holy Spirit cannot forgive. There is only one thing the Holy Spirit cannot forgive. That thing is to reject Jesus Christ. That thing is not to believe in Jesus Christ, not to confess Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord. Why? Yes, we know Holy Spirit has many jobs, many ministries, many businesses, but his one main job is to testify about Jesus Christ in human beings, in men, in you, in me, so that men may receive Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord and be saved, and then become powerful witness of Jesus Christ to others. Jesus himself says, when the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of the truth comes, he will testify about me, among you, in you, within you. Also, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be my powerful witnesses. Right? Acts 1:8. Very proclaimed, Acts 1:8, remember? explanation. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive power. You will be my witness, Jesus' witness, in Jerusalem, or Judea, Samaria, to the end of this world, this age. Only one thing the Holy Spirit cannot forgive is reject Jesus Christ. That is why the Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, every fault can be forgiven, but sin against the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven. What does this mean? Continually, the Bible says, anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. There is no forgiveness, no salvation to those who reject Jesus Christ. In conclusion, let us read the last two verses. Last two verses, verse 30 and 31, sharing it together. For we know him who said, it is mine to obey. I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God judges all creations. Do you agree? Because all creations is his creation. God judges all his creation. God judges all human beings, including you and me. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, just as a man is destined to die, how many times? Once. And after that, to face judgment. But we must know that to those who believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in Jesus Christ. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, judgment means evaluation, accounting, and rewards. But to those who reject Jesus Christ, judgment means penalty, punishment, and condemnation. Last verse says, it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yes, we know, we are in the hands of the living God. You recognize that? We cannot escape from the hands of Almighty God. But question is, being in the hands of the living God is a dreadful thing or a joyful thing?
Joyful.
God bless you. Yes. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, being in the hands of the living God means safety, protection, guidance, guarantee, blessing. But to those who reject Jesus Christ, being in the hands of the living God means under the wrath, retribution, but also at the same time, opportunity. With God's long suffering patience. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? If we have faith in Jesus Christ, we can know our faith in Jesus Christ is a doctrine. But our faith is a frankly doctrine. And so sometimes the word doctrine connotes negative meaning. Sometimes being narrow, closed, rigid, exclusive. We should be careful not to be doctrinaire. Doctrinaire is not good. Doctrinaire is bad. For example, it is bad to be narrow. It is bad to be closed. It is better to be exclusive. It is better to be haughty, to be proud. It is better not to listen to others. But we cannot escape being doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is our faith. We base on. Doctrine is not something that we can prove scientifically or empirically, experimentally. Doctrine is something that we base our lives on, we contend for, we commit ourselves to, we push, we insist on. But at the same time, not only us, but also others, even unbelievers. In fact, all humans are doctrinal. We know that all humans, other religions, even non-religionists, all humans are doctrinal in a sense. Let me say one example. There are two persons, person A, person B, and person A is a Christian, like you. And person B is not non-Christian. They are neighbors, next doors. One day they sit together, and person A wants to share his faith. Person A wants to evangelize him. So person A said to person B, I wish you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and be saved. I won't try to convince you why you should accept Jesus Christ. This is his faith, right? His doctrinal position. Then person B said to person A like this, you cannot know anything definite about God. What does this mean? Also, his position is doctrine. His faith, a kind of faith. His word is not scientific, not empirical. He has his own faith position, doctrine. Also, he person B said to person A like this, you should not try to persuade others to take on your belief, your faith position. What does this mean? By saying this, also person B tried to persuade person A to take his faith position, right? Anyway, person A, person B, person A Christian, person B non-Christian, but person A, person B both doctrine. They have bet their lives on it. They are both contending for. Person B has bet his eternal destiny on his own faith, on his own doctrine, that nobody can know anything definite about God. Yes, we know our morality. Our morality is nothing for our salvation. Our integrity has nothing to do with our salvation, but our morality. Our morality level standards must be higher, we agree, as the fruit of the salvation, of the power of salvation. Yes, around us today around us, there are many, many person B's, right? We must know that person B's around us have little concern about what we believe. But what we want to share with them is what we believe. That is why our morality must be higher than them. Our integrity must have impact on them, so that our message may be powerful on them. Today's passage is the dangers of sin. Finally, shall we say to yourself, the dangers of sin.
The dangers of sin.
As we know today is the last Sunday, last Lord's Day worship together of this year, 2019. Sarah said 2 days, 3 days on left. Bible says, there is a time for everything. There is a time for every activity. There is a time to be born, a time to die. There is a time to start, also there is a time to finish, to close. This is the truth given to us from the Bible. Yes, to start well is good, but to finish well is more important. We know the Hebrew, the book Hebrews is the book of letters. You remember 5 letters last Sunday. The other last Sunday we started five letters. Ready, run away?
Yes.
Today is the last Sunday worship together of this year, 2019. Let us finish this year very well. Do you want?
Yes.
Let us finish, let us close this year very well. And how? How can we finish this year very well, spiritually, also physically, according to a message given to us today message. I want to suggest like this. If we want to finish this year very, very well, first, let us finish this year to confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Publicly, not only secretly between God and me, but also publicly, officially, before all human beings on the street. Let us finish this year by confessing Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Also, let us finish this year to decide to commit ourselves more and more to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And let us finish this year by forgiving all, just as Jesus Christ has forgiven us. If there are somebody, anybody in you, in me, whom you do not yet forgive. And finally, let us finish this year. How? To receive a new year with a new heart, new attitude, new commitment, new dedication to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us finish this year to repent. It means let us finish this year by confessing our sins. If there are any committed sins unconfessed before our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 John chapter 1 verse 8, 9 promise. If you claim to be without sin, you deceive yourselves. The truth is not in you, but if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just, righteous. So He will forgive you your sins, and He will purify, He will cleanse us with from all unrighteousness, from all wickedness, from all iniquities, from all sins. If there is any sin you committed, I committed, but if we do not confess our sin, let us finish this year by confessing our own sins at the dead let us receive. New coming new year 2020 with a new heart, new attitude, new dedication, new commitment, new love for our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. You bless your lectures, encouraging and suggesting. Let us finish this year very well.
Let us finish this year very well.
And let us receive a new year with a new heart. Let us pray together. Let's pray. O Lord God, our Lord Jesus came in this world to remove sin from us, from our life, from our hearts. Father God, if this is true, help us to continue to fight against sin. Give us courage, give us strong faith to fight against sin. Sometimes help us to be wise by running away, fleeing from the temptation of sin. Father, we cannot escape the temptation and power of sin, even though we are saved. As long as we live in this world, we cannot escape from the power and the temptation of sin. But we can win, because through our Lord Jesus Christ. We confess before you, we can do nothing apart from you, but we believe we can do anything, everything through our Lord Jesus Christ, who strengthens us, who gives us power and wisdom and hope and faith and love. Thank you for what Jesus has done. Thank you for what Jesus has been doing with us continually through this Spirit, Holy Spirit. Father God, we welcome Holy Spirit. Fill us with Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of illumination, the Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of inspiration, and Spirit of victory. All glory back to you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.